It's 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday, July 9th, 2025, and I'm calling to order the Bolton Planning and Zoning Commission regular meeting. And I'm going to appoint Diane DiNunzio for Steve Clark and Tom Crockett for Jeremy Flick. Approval of the minutes of June 11th, 2025.
Make a motion to approve the minutes as written. Second.
Are there any changes at all? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 And the chair votes aye. And let's see.
Is that Tom Crockett, Jim Cropley?
Yeah.
And Diane DiNunzio will be, says she was absent, so she will be, she will abstain.
So six in favor, zero opposed, one abstention?
Correct.
Two abstentions.
Okay. Two.
Tom Robbins. Tom Robbins also.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so five in favor, zero against, two abstentions.
Right.
Thank you.
Residents Forum. Is there anyone here who would like to speak to the commission on a matter which is not on the agenda?
Us. Hi.
Hi. State your name and address, please.
My name is Bryce Aronson. I live at 149 Brandy Street. And along with the three of those here, we represent Bike Walk Bolton. And we have been in kind of just, we've been around for a while, and Sylvia will get to more of the history of us, but more present today with the intention to initiate for discussion a complete streets plan that we have had dialogue with the Board of Selectmen for and Advocacy and Rodney and Jim. And Sylvia will detail more specifically of what a complete streets plan is for those that may not know. But we wanted to just, you know, use this opportunity to initiate for discussion with planning and zoning, such a plan, see if something exists, which I don't think it does. I think I've heard in some iterations it does, but not into what a complete streets by definition plan is. Kind of initiate a conversation, hopefully, from there. And so over the last year, and I just moved to town about a year and a half ago, or 2 years ago now, we have had multiple conversations with Rodney and Jim and had various engagements with the Board of Selectmen too on engaging both in components of a complete street, so improving some intersections around town, and then also discussing and the particulars of complete streets that Sylvia will speak to. So I just kind of want to initiate and open, say that brief bit, turn it to Sylvia.
I'm Sylvia, the one who I live at 48 Stonehenge Lane. So I've been a founding member of Bike Walk Bolton with Barbara Amodio, and we've been in action since 2016. And I wanted to just talk a little bit quickly about what we've done that is consistent with a complete streets plan. And a complete streets plan, what that means is it's the ability for everybody to use streets more safely. Ultimately, it's designing our and creating communities that are safer for all road users. So it's not just motorists, it's motorists, cyclists, pedestrians, runners, everybody who uses our street, and thinking about that in the concept of moving this town forward in the plan of conservation and development and planning and zoning and all different aspects that have that sort of thought in the background about how we would like to move Bolton forward. So, we would ultimately, our ultimate ask is that we would like to come to one of the meetings on the agenda and explain in more detail what a complete streets plan is and how the current plan of conservation and development for Bolton that has aspects of a complete street plan and might be updated. We met with Eric Anderson of the town of Andover, and we talked about his implementation of a complete street plan for Andover. Our plan would in some ways be similar because we're similar kinds of towns. However, every town is different because we have different needs in terms of how we move about the town and so forth. So Bike Walk Bolton has been doing a lot of work related that is already related to complete streets plans that you may not be aware of. So I just wanted to let you know, well, Jim and I'm sorry, Tom, may be aware. In 1994, when my son was born and I was trying to cross 44 off of South Road to go for a walk, I couldn't get across because the light wouldn't change unless there was a motorist there. And I approached Pam Cropley, and at that point, she said they did a study. The DOT did a study, and they decided to the DOT did a study, and they decided that it wasn't needed, that they didn't need a button there. And now, 29 years later, there's a button there. And thanks to Barbara, the DOT painted hash lines there, and now it's much easier to cross. And as a cyclist who rides on 44 all the time, I can stop and then push that button and make that left-hand turn as I'm traveling westward on 44 onto South Road. It's much safer. So that's an example of the kind of work that started way before Bike Walk Bolton and continued Bike Walk Bolton. Other things that we've done, when the road was repainted, Camp Meeting Road, they put the lines right back in the same spot with large 14, 15, 16-foot lane widths. And they came back and repainted them after Barbara asked them to do that. If you're aware of the East Coast Greenway that goes up to East Bolton Center Road and then crosses the bridge, and there's a beautiful bike lane and then loops around. Is everyone familiar with that? Well, that was originally designed with a fence all the way around that loop. So people on Williams Road or anyone couldn't access it there. They would have to ride a bike up to the stop sign, the four-way stop right now, and then get on the trail. So we advocated for the designers of that trail to put in a path and take down the fence so that people could access the trail. So it's safer access to that. We have two share the road signs. One of them is right down the road here. We put in amenities, the Hop River State Park Trail, including the bike repair station and a bench, and all those have been paid by grants and other town groups. The ADA compliant gates are not ADA compliant gates on the Hop River Trail, have been changed now to bollards along the entire length of the Hop River Trail. Bike Walk Bolton started that. And that was part because people on adaptive trikes or using trikes or had tag-alongs couldn't get through those gates. Now they can get through those gates. And then Bike Walk Bolton has offered multiple bike rodeos in this town to help kids learn to ride safely, learn the skills of riding, but learn the rules of the road and so forth. So those are just examples of things that we've been doing behind the scenes. All these fall into a Complete Streets Plan concept of just making roads safer for all users. Bike Walk Bolton has been advocating for better access to the Hop River Trail. The Hop River Trail could be a transit way. And if we could get people there without driving cars, we aren't advocating for putting in more parking lots. We're just advocating for safe access or just even access. So we have a huge issue at Bolton Notch because anyone from our neighborhoods can't access the trail because it's illegal to ride through the notch. But we talked about right at the end of Bolton Notch Road Extension, there's a path that exists there that all local people use. We do not want a parking lot at the end of that. We just want that path improved so we could get people off the Hop River Trail and up to the town center and all those amenities. It would be awesome. We're advocating for lane width reduction. We've been working very well with Jim Rupert because Route 44 is going to get repaved like it is in Coventry right now. But in order for the DOT to do their own Complete Streets Plan, the town has to ask for reduced lane widths. Lane widths in front of, from the notch right through to the graveyard, just before the graveyard on Route 44 are 17 feet wide. If they got to the 11 feet, we'd have much more shoulder. And all those people that are living there, they're walking their dogs, pushing strollers, kids on skateboards. I've been there since 1990. Would have more space at least to do that, and it would result in traffic calming. We've also worked with the Bolton Economic Development Committee to try to put in signs to help people, the trail users, know about the wonderful amenities, food, so forth at the notch. We haven't been successful with that, but we hope that's going to happen. Tunnel lighting, we started that in 2017. We hope that the tunnel lighting is going to go in to the Hop River Trail at the notch, the big long tunnel, this spring. It's not happened quite yet, but it requires cooperation by the TOT and the DEEP, so it's been a little bit of a struggle. But those are just examples. I've noticed in the plan of conservation and development for the town of Bolton, you have the desire to have a bike-friendly town application. We worked with Patrice to complete the application for a sustainable CT designation by doing the bike rodeos and doing an audit for all the amenities in town. So we would be more than happy to help move a bike-friendly application forward. Jim and I are League of American Bicycle Certified Instructors, so we are part of that group and understand what's involved in those applications. So we feel that the plan of conservation and development would become needs a little bit of updating, and we would be happy to help with that. But ultimately, we would like a complete streets plan. So our ask, again, is that we could come to you as part of the agenda to be to present more on the details of what a complete street plan is, how they've evolved through town time, and to offer our help in making that happen and writing one of those plans as a draft, and hopefully ultimately getting in our plan of conservation and development with the idea that we want to make these streets safer for all users. And I think our younger generation, new people in these towns, are really demanding that now. They want to walk their kids in their strollers on these streets, and it's not safe to do that right now. So that's my statement. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your time.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I'm Jim Adams, 48.
Zero addition.
That's what I was going to mention. I'm Jim Adams, 48 Stone Edge Lane. It was the same residence. Yeah, the other reason for this is as you may be aware, Connecticut is launched a program called Vision Zero, which conceptually is to envision zero deaths on our roadways. And that seems like that's obviously a very stretched goal, but it's something that Connecticut has recently bought into, and there was some legislation recently passed that started that process. And the process is to look at our roads and highways in a lot different way than we've done up to now to get to the point where the 30 to 40,000 people that die on the highways in this country every year is down to a significantly lower number with a goal of zero. So that means there's a lot of things you have to change about the way your roads are designed, how people walk and bicycle and drive around the towns. And we think it's something that Bolton needs to do. And it'll make Bolton a better place and a more desirable place for people that we need to start attracting really soon to this town. We need to increase our tax rolls, and we need to get new families into this town soon, or we're going to be in trouble.
So, Barbara Modio, 50 Volpe Road. I just also want to make you aware that Bike Walk Bolton asked people in town to take the pledge to drive the speed limit. Everyone on the Board of Selectmen took the pledge. If you haven't yet taken it, there are copies of it at the library. You can take it. And all we're asking, and I found it really hard. I signed it. But do you know how hard it is to go 25 miles an hour? It's really hard, and especially if you got someone right on your back. So I'm doing it, and I'm doing it intentionally. And the more people who sign it and the more people who believe in it, the safer we think the town will be. So the pledge is at the library. If you want to stop by and take one and sign on and say, and try doing it. It's hard, but I'm doing it, so you can too.
I don't ride my bicycle. I don't bicycle as much as I would like to. When I was a kid, I went everywhere. It was freedom. I'd ride from my house up to the library, go to the grocery store for my mother. It was great. When I was exiled to Fort Lauderdale, I noticed that they had all these electric bicycle shops, and they also had bicycle racks on their buses. Oh, that would be a great thing. When I got back to Connecticut, I found they had those things here. So I started to train, and eventually was able to get to the point where I could ride both ways to my office in East Hartford, 25 miles. And it was, and it's a really wonderful, it's a really wonderful thing to do. I think if you're going to make an effective presentation on what you want to do to this board, you should have a talk with Patrice about what it is that we do and what our regulations handle. For instance, we might there might not be anything in our subdivision regulations. We don't know. She would have to talk to you about, you know, what would happen when you design a subdivision, how this would be affected. And then how it would be implemented in the zoning regulations. Because that's and then the third way that we would deal with this is we approve certain kinds of public works. And I think that I don't know that we've had to approve the bike trails themselves, the bike and walking trails themselves, but we have had to approve certain parking facilities and so on. So just get a good idea from Patrice what the things that we could do and then the things that we can't do. It's not within our purview. A lot of what you're talking about as far as physical changes is going to rest with the Board of Selectmen.
We do have design guidelines.
And we do have design guidelines.
I think that I've seen Andover's plan of conservation, not plan of conservation, their complete street package. And I think that our design guidelines is a good fit for that sort of thing. But they're just guidelines. So if you can work with Patrice to get something that goes in as a regulation, that's very different. So, but we do have the design guidelines, which can be more, the plan of conservation and development is a wish list, really. I mean, it's a vision statement, but the design guidelines are just that. They are suggested, recommended, approved guidelines. So that might be a good place for him, Patrice.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the traffic stuff is going to be ruled by the traffic authority, which I believe is either the Board of Selectmen and or Jim Rupert. But, you know, there are recommendations that can be made. It's, you know, I'm not sure how much we can actually regulate, maybe like Tom said, in new subdivisions. And I would have to, you know, bend to the engineers, talking to the engineer about lane width and adding bike lanes and what have you. I'm sure that's fine. I know we've tried to narrow our roads to slow down drain or limit the amount of drainage that's coming off too. So, you know, if you're going to expand the roads to add a bike lane, we got to talk about that as well.
But I have a question.
Sure.
So I'm just wondering, you know, conceptually, like Maple Valley Road, for example, it was a relatively new road in Bolton. And it backs right onto the Hop River Trail. In a complete street vision, there would have been public access from that road to the Hop River Trail, so that not only the people who, you know, have the fortunate ability to have a home that backs on the trail have access to the trail, or those that are their neighbors across the street, but that everybody that is a resident of the town of Bolton could use that as an access to the trail. Because right now we have steels crossing, and really no other official way to get from the trail.
We do look at these things. 271 Hop River Road was a new gas station going in, and the trail was not too far behind it. We didn't feel that we could mandate a connection, but we asked them to do that, and they did it.
Did it.
So
it's beautiful.
Yeah, we've actually got to go take a look at that trail.
Sometimes there are.
We've been asked to get help.
Right of ways. I don't know if we have a right of way off of Maple Valley or off of the. I know there's something at the end of Toomey, right? But
the old Toomey roadbed actually goes down to Route 6, but the roadbed now at the end of Toomey, the north end where it dead ends, is actually public land on either side of the roadbed. You can see the old roadbed there. There's stone walls on either side. It jumps down onto the Hop River Trail right where Alex's bench is.
Mm-hmm.
And then the old roadbed goes right down to Route 6 and actually connects to Stony Road. So it would be an awesome path. But the four properties, M&M Oil, the Johnson Camp, there's four properties there. But there's been eminent domain issues. I talked to Malcolm Barlow about this, who's a friend, that the old roadbed no longer exists when you go from the Hop River Trail to Route 6. Because those four properties, because it's when it's abandoned and over a certain amount of time, properties can take over. But that even going from the Hop River Trail up, and that's in your plan of conservation and development, I think it's an awesome idea, is to extend to me down to the rail trail. It would be a perfect way to get people who use the rail trail up to the center of town. It's an old roadbed from the 1700s. It's got a nice grade. It's completely eroded now and it's full of huge trees because it's been abandoned, but it would be an excellent way to get people off the trail to the library, to the park, to the town hall, just all these amenities that people could access instead of riding up steels and then riding up here, which is much steeper.
Is Toomey the one that goes to the school?
No, it's behind the library.
Right, and it eventually goes behind the school. Goes up to
the cross country team. What is the what road does the cross country team?
That's been talked about, and they decided not to do that because they didn't want people being able to get easily in and out of the back of the grammar school.
School, right?
Because of it was
That's a different one. That was another walking path that they wanted to put in to get the kids from the school to the library.
Yeah.
This is half a mile, quarter of a mile down further.
Too many dead ends down.
Right, it dead ends, but it's about a quarter of a mile. Quarter of a mile further.
Yeah.
The road dead ends after
Toomey Homestead.
Maple Valley.
Keep going past Maple Valley north.
It dead ends right at the end.
There's one house on the right and then one house on the left.
Yeah.
No turnaround.
No turnaround right now.
But you're right, Patrice. They did talk about having a path from the school, but this is a little further down.
Okay.
Watrous Road also has another access point.
Yes.
I don't know if Leon Stimmick owns. I'm not sure. I've been down there. That would be another place to access the trail.
Yeah,
another opportunity.
There used to be an old road that sort of just cuts across because that huge cliff-like wall on Route 6, it sort of just slices across on a slant till you get down almost to the Andover line, I believe, and comes in that way. But I always wonder if that would require like some construction, you know, kind of stuff. I don't know.
I've walked down it. I'm with...
Yeah.
With my bike, you know, it's not terrible, but I don't know who owns it really.
Now, there is access from the high school down, right?
There is a trail that the cross-country runners run. Bailey Road used to...
That's right, Bailey Road, yeah.
That's very eroded right now.
Because of the private
property. Yeah.
And that also crosses private
property. Well, right, the Randy Potterton's home, the log cabin, there's right now they're crossing... The cross country team is crossing the private property there
with permission.
But the Notch Road extension—that's a hiking trail. Mm-hmm. The Notch Road extension is the easiest do in my mind to get people off the trail and to the town center right now,
mm-hmm.
Because it's totally well used. I mean, people ride bikes on that all the time, and they don't park anywhere. They're using it as a through thing, and it's all local people that are. On that.
Is there any kind of town property in the vicinity of that one point, or is it all private property?
The end of Notch Road extension is all there. There is a very significant piece of town property. There's a power line that goes through there too. It does not impinge on private property, that particular path. But the very point at the Toomey, there's a chunk of Toomey property there that's kind of forms a triangle next to the Hop River Trail that's close. But that is the public, private property is not an issue for that access.
And that is currently a means for people that are, because I know many people that have used it, including myself, you go on the Hopper Trail, you go up that. And right now it's a very rutted, rocky path. to get up it is not easy, but you can ride up it. The idea is we just simply wanted to prove so that this is a nice, smooth grade that anybody or a lot more people could use that to ride from the Hot River Trail up into Fulton and vice versa.
And I know there's been a concern raised that, you know, it has to be ADA compliant. And I've looked into this. So not all access points, like the one to the gas station down on Route 6, need to be ADA compliant. If there are ADA compliant access points, like there are at the dirt lot at the Notch and at Steeles, especially now because the bollards are there and not the gates, that is fine. But not every single access point needs to be that way. So that is not an excuse to say this is going to cost too much money to put an ADA compliant trail there. It does not need to be ADA compliant.
Mr. Chairman, and we have other applicants, and residents forum is not supposed to go 20 minutes. I don't know if they want to hang on and come later or do a different.
Well, no, they're planning to come back again, and they will talk to you about that.
Talk to Patrice to get on the agenda. Yes. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Andrew. Nope.
Saying hi.
Okay. Staff reports.
Sorry, you caught me off guard here. I was interestingly enough, I had a meeting today because we are going to actually do a connectivity ride on Route 6 that may or may not address some of this coming up. what the heck is my staff report? Okay. So I don't remember if, I think last time we discussed the Dunkin' Donuts going in at the gas station. I've met again with an attorney for the cider mill property now, who's talking to me for the applicant. It does sound like they're going to try and do something and move forward. I've talked to a couple of appraisers recently, somebody about a subdivision on French Road. That's pretty much been it. Some ongoing work with Connecticut's countryside. And actually in your packet at the bottom, there is something that looks like this. And it is this, sorry. There we go. The statistics for Connecticut's countryside. And I just want to note for you all that our unique visitors are up almost 50%, page views are up over 100%, and the bounce rate is down 10%. So we're really getting a lot of traffic on there. So again, any business that isn't on there for free, if you know anybody and you want to encourage them, help us get them on there and get their events on there. People are coming to the site.
Patrice, are they doing anything for the nation's 250th? Are they having a, what's going on in the four towns?
We can. I haven't been asked to do that or anything, but I know there's a committee, right? Okay. Well, can't do anything without a committee or somebody making the plans, right?
Yeah. I didn't know if the other four towns have something or if they wanted to do something as a...
I don't know, but I can certainly ask at our next meeting that we have a steering committee meeting for.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know anything.
Okay. There is a committee. John Toomey is the chair. Jim Rupert's involved. Okay. I do sit on it. I'm not a chair. I just, Heritage Farm is going to do stuff.
Okay.
Stephanie from the rec department.
Yep.
In the school. So there are plans, and I know that the state of Connecticut has a page that they're putting together.
Okay. So
if it would be something that they would be interested in doing.
Okay. I will check into it, Darlene. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mike.
The only other thing I don't think we mentioned or talked about the last meeting, Patrice and I have been working with Krog on the parcel update project and getting that started. We may have talked about it, but the Krog received a state funds through ARPA to facilitate the update of all of the Krog municipalities parcel data. So obviously Bolton's one of those communities. So we heard from the GIS manager at Krog today, and he's getting everything squared away for paperwork. And then we'll be working with the vendor to compile. There's about a really large file cabinet drawers worth of changes that the assessor has been hoarding for, I think, the last 9 years, parcel updates. So we'll be going through those, getting those to him, and getting that all updated so that the mapping and parcel lines are all correct based on, you know, the things that, you know, largely this commission approves, subdivisions, et cetera. And so that is at no cost to the town. And we just processed the permits, I believe, the building official as well, for the fit out at 271 Hop River. So the signs will be going up, and the Dunkin' Donuts fit out is underway. So I expect that'll be getting started shortly if it hasn't.
Thank you. Any questions from the members? Seeing none, old business, was there any? Just as
nothing.
Nothing to
nope.
Then we have a discussion and possible decision on site plan application for new house, 61 Vernon Road, John Boynton, number PL-25-5.
There's a couple of large prints there if you'd prefer. Otherwise, there was a 11 by 17 or something in your packet either way. And I can put it up on the screen if you want, but I'd rather you be able to see the applicants.
Okay, and it looks like we have John here on Zoom.
Yeah, with John and Ken Boynton from Boynton Construction out of Vernon, representing the owners of the property.
And if you'd like to...
Sure. We're looking for a site plan approval because we are within 50 feet of Bolton Lake for a single family residence, a small lake house that we're looking to build on the existing property that was once had an old... some type of structure on there. At one point, it's been gone for a long time. The property is overgrown now. Pretty much just the remnants are the old chimney. So again, we've been to wetlands and received approval from the wetlands for the site plan. And again, we are looking for the approval from planning and zoning for construction of that single family home.
And did staff have any comments?
I just had a question.
Okay.
I see on this plot plan, it says existing well over to the left. Is that going to be a shared well with the neighbor, or plan on having your own well on this property?
Nope, that well is on our property, and we plan on reusing the well. We've had it checked, and it is a good well, and it's completely on our property, so that's our... intent is to reuse that well for serving this property.
I know there are a few properties that used to have shared wells on Lower Vernon Street. I
Yeah, they have their own well. If you look way off to the site plan, you can see their well is on their property. So it's not a shared well. It's just for this property at this
Okay.
time. Yep.
We're going to have a basement in this house?
We'll have a basement, yes.
It's going to be a typical basement or raised something.
Nope. The site is elevated, so the basement will be obviously below the house, but it's not raised because again the site is elevated up. There's a lot of rock and whatnot, so the basement will just be the lower level. It'll walk out to the lake from the lower level.
Yeah, I'm Ken Boyd. It'll actually be above the lake quite a few feet. I think what 6 or 7 feet above the lake is the basement elevation, if I remember correctly.
Yes, correct.
You asked if staff had any comments. The Wetlands Commission approved this. There was a finding of given that plans are followed and ENS controls are properly installed and maintained, there would not be a detrimental impact on the lake as a result of the application.
Okay, then
I really don't have any other comments on it's a standard house plan.
Then I have a motion. I move that the Planning and Zoning Commission approves the new house proposed by John Boynton for 61 Vernon Road in the site plan application number PL-25-4 and finds that it is in compliance with the requirements of section 450-3.7 wetland conservation of the Bolton zoning regulations. Is there a second?
Jim Cropley, I second it.
Jim Cropley seconds. Is there any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the chair votes aye. That's 700 in favor.
Great. Thank you, folks.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Have a good summer.
You're welcome. You too.
Bye. Thank you.
Best of luck with it.
Appreciate that.
Okay, ongoing discussion, Bolton subdivision and zoning regulations. And I had some homework, which Marilee kindly reminded me to do. And I contacted Sanitarian Thad King about alternative septic technologies. And he pointed out they're not really alternatives. They're actually approved by the Department of Public Health. And so I've had and he notes that he has seen this technology used in the district and that it has advantages. So that's one possible approach to that's very part of affordable housing, I think. And it, the thread has been copied to you, and it has it's just his brief discussion of the advantages that he sees, and then there's a couple of links. One is to the DPH website, and the other is to the website of GeoMatrix, which has three or four approved systems.
Okay, I didn't see the links, Tom, unless
yeah,
they were...
you have to scroll down.
I did. So is it in your part?
Yeah, in my part.
Oh, in your part. Okay. There, I do see them in your part. Okay, I thought you meant Thad had sent the link.
No, no.
Okay. So I did forward this out to all commissioners. So when they get home tonight, they can see it in their email.
Thank you.
Yep.
Now, I also went looking for a table of uses, and I did not find one in the codified regulations. Are we going to make one up?
You didn't find, there's a table of uses for each
no,
different
no,
zone.
I meant overall, all the zones,
Oh, we did that already. In the very beginning of this discussion, we did this.
Okay, I couldn't find it.
Okay.
You can tell me about it later.
That was created by staff, but it's not codified into E code.
Right.
So, but we can post it and link it so that it is available if the commission feels like it's something that's, you know, should be consumed publicly. We can still link it up there so you can get to it.
Because there are several appendices to the regulations, like the design guidelines and so on.
Right. They're there. But the big table that we had put together is not something that we had that the PZC had approved as the use table. All we did was discuss it. We refined it based on comments from the Planning and Zoning Commission members. And that's as far as we got with it that I know of.
Okay, then would you send it out again, please?
Sure.
Okay, and were there any other recommendations from staff on your experience with certain issues and changes that you wanted to make?
Yes. At the bottom of your packet tonight, there is something that looks like this, and it is 13 pages long. It is your sign code regulation, which I don't want to go through with you right now, but Mike and I have had some issues with it over the past week in looking through and trying to calculate the Dunkin' Donut signage that they're going to add to that property. And I will just say it this way, and Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but Mike came up with a number, I came up with a number, and Danielle came up with a number, and not one of us matched. So if the three of us can't come up with the same number reading the same set of regulations, we need to change something. I know this was an effort of love by a committee over a period of time, but I really think it can be simplified, and maybe based on some of our experience, we can put something together for you that's at least half the 13 pages to start with. I mean, I think I've been around here long enough to understand what your goals are for signs, but it's not a lot, and you want it tasteful and all of that. I think we can get to that without having to go 13 pages. Do you agree with me, Mike? I think you do.
Yeah, the method of calculation is, I have not seen another set of regulations that says, and you get a half a square foot for this much, and then you get a quarter of square foot for this much. And in theory, if you have a huge diversity of buildings that are being constructed or that are built, then I guess that makes sense because, you know, bigger buildings don't just get 1 square foot per linear foot, which is sort of the standard. But the average building size, there's not a huge disparity between the types of buildings that we're seeing, you know, gas stations, Dollar General, these medical buildings, even the vet, you know, some of those things. The average building size and the frontage that they have is all very similar. So, you know, all these calculations, the net result is a couple of square feet between one building to the next. So I think just establishing something that's more consistent may be more useful because, you know, I think that rather than trying to limit and come up with these calculations, what might be more effective is having something uniform so that all buildings, regardless of how big the building is, has a sign that's substantially the same as the building across the street from it and next to it. And so regulations have to have uniformity, you know that. But we also need for the sign code to be content neutral. So I think we can pare it down, make the math a little bit easier, but also probably make them compliant.
I've had it.
We're
I wouldn't even start with this. I would just
destroyed.
Oh, we're not gone.
Good.
We'll refer to it.
I wasn't on that committee, but I made a bunch of comments and they never got changed. Like the portable signs that you have to go and ask permission for if you want to put them up, which is kind of crazy because people are going to do it anyways. And I don't think the people in the town hall want to start approving that I'm putting out a sign this weekend because I'm having some kind of little event. I think they were, this was just like drawn out for months,
months
and months and months. Months. In months, and I think that's why I came up with 13 pages.
Yeah, I think
trying to attract businesses to town, the last thing we want to do is them spend all this money to put up a building and have a, you know, an 18 by 24 inch sign telling them what they are.
I like the idea of a uniform sign. I mean, then kind of if all the signs were uniform, you drive through, it's kind of like a, you know. What am I trying to say? It's like a
quaint.
No, it's like a. It's like when all the road signs are the same and everything else is the same. Branding.
Yeah,
it's like right. A branding.
The one thing right. that I will just mention, and when a couple of years ago we rewrote the Tallinn sign regs, and one of the things that was. That weighed heavily in their consideration of how to deal with it, and was sort of the issues or in enforcement and complaints. And so for Bolton, I've been in Bolton 3.5 years, something like that, maybe four, somewhere in 21 I started. I have not had any complaints, conflicts, or issued any violations or correspondence related to anything regarding signage of any kind, temporary, unpermitted, too big. We have had absolutely nothing related to that in over 4 years. So, you know.
Right. They read this and they said, I'm not even bothering, forget it. I'll use word of mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the first part is right. They read it and say they're not bothering. But I think what that means is it's self-policing in that, you know, there's just not a lot of people that are going so far above and beyond. You know, we have people put signs out and little sandwich boards and stuff. We're not in the business of driving around trying to catch somebody putting a sandwich board sign out. But, you know, it's not a substantial issue. So I think it may be worth looking at what are the businesses doing, because obviously if they're doing it, it's what works for them. And can we mirror that in the regulations so that, you know, we're not hamstringing them any more than they already are.
Yeah, I mean, the only one I remember is wasn't the dentist's office on 44 when Dollar General came in? She was upset, remember, about the sign because she was supposed to get a bigger sign.
But that was on her. The sign fit the regulation. She just thought she had a different spot on the sign than he did. That had nothing to do with our regulations. It had more to do with their agreement and the property owner and whose sign got to go where.
Right.
But yeah, you're right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know one of the big contentions of that whole thing was we had a sign out front of the garden center that we could put letters in and take letters out. And we actually got a permit for that. And it was a whole thing with DOT and stuff. And I think someone on the committee was trying to make me get rid of it, but obviously it's still there. Not that it's mine anymore, but...
All right, so with your permission, we will try and do something with the sign code, if that's okay.
Merrily.
Now that we are on the subject of signage and attached lighting issues, I have wondered for the longest time why the Dollar General dentist office driveway entrance is so dangerously dark. It is very difficult to find the entrance at night, seeing that there's no light at the entrance, and there is no light even from the streetlights. The way the streetlights were placed is that there's nothing actually right in front of the driveway, and it is hard to find the driveway, and it makes entering and even exiting difficult. There is insufficient lighting on that driveway, period, in my opinion. But it must violate a regulation. If I'm not a chicken, I'm not that easily flustered. If I'm getting scary feelings pulling in there, I'm sure something is wrong there.
Well, and also they put the meridian between the two lanes as black, so you can't tell the difference between where the road is and where the, I've seen cars drive right over that.
Yes, thank goodness it's not,
yeah, it
very
should be at least painted so you could see the entrance.
You can't see anything. When it first went in, I thought there was a ditch, as so many of our roads are ditched on the side, and I was terrified because I wasn't sure if I was coming into a ditch or the driveway. I was taking my chances. It is dark.
Well, I mean, we can go back and look at the plans, but that was approved by the town engineer for CO. And the only way to change anything maybe at this point is if they there is one more lot in the back, and if they come in for development of that lot, it could be addressed then. But I those plans
wow.
were, that was in accordance with the plans that were approved by the town engineer.
Okay.
The only other thing that I don't remember specifically, but when we were working with a property not far from there not long ago, there are portions of that road where the right of way is extremely wide. DOT has a lot more width than you would expect. So they, you know, they would not be able to place any of their lighting, you know, within the right of way. The DOT is not going to want that. And the other thing is, you know, there's another side to this kind of piece to this, which I'm not saying I necessarily agree with, which is that anything, any structure like a light pole, sign, all those things are obstructions in the roadway. The closer to the road they are, they get in the way of eyesight. People hit them. So I don't know that DOT would allow it. But we actually had issues when Dollar General opened because the neighbors didn't like the lights that were there. And they had to go in and make adjustments to the building lighting because they thought it was too bright and created some issues for Dollar General because they're required to provide minimum lighting levels for insurance purposes. So they had to go in and do some stuff and change some fixtures around. But I don't know how you'd get the entrance brighter without putting a...
the only way, Mike, I can think of is if DOT puts a street pole light there.
It's a short sign. I mean, even if that was illuminated itself, just to show you that something is happening there, it wouldn't help you to know if you have to drive on the right of the sign or the left of the sign. That would still be a 50-50 gamble. But at least you know that that is somewhere near the road. It's crazy, quite frankly.
Patrice, is there any requirements we have for a lot like that? Because I honestly think if they painted that center meridian, that's just a black hump that looks like it's the road, and put lines for traffic, it wouldn't be that, you could at least see the lines. Do we have any, because that serves two properties. Is there any regulation?
But what do you mean by the lines for traffic? It's one way in and one way out, isn't it? On each side of the.
Right, but if you go by there, it's one way in, one way out, but in the center, there's a paved
right.
black
yep.
dot. You can't see that. So if there was, you know, like something that divided, showed that and had lines on
like
the side.
Maybe like arrow.
Yeah, something. Seeing it's a dual property, I don't know if.
Thanks, Mike.
I think you have a problem with the DOT.
This
if
is,
out there,
this is the Asbelt.
Better.
Yep.
So you can see the island is just on the right of way line.
So there was originally supposed to be a sign there, but then there was a problem with the tractor trailers pulling in.
Yeah, and they had the sign closer to the road, and then you couldn't see.
Yeah,
they had a lot.
Yeah, that hump in the middle that is a, you can't see it pulling in from. I mean, it's dark, but then you can't see that.
So just based on scale, you're talking probably 25 feet off the edge of the road before you get into the property. So all of that is all, you know, DOT. It looks like there's poles on the other side. I don't, they're mapped there, but it's not showing whether they're just communication poles or if there's an actual,
right. If they could put a light on the SNET 179 pole there or whatever that is, that would help. I don't know if there's one there or not, but it's right across from the entrance.
I think the first step is reflective paint.
Yeah, I think that would be, I think that would
solve. Well, we can ask, but we cannot require at this point. You've given them a CO, it's their property. They can do whatever they want. So if they don't want to put reflective paint because they don't like the look of it, I don't know what to tell you.
If there's an accident.
Well, that's, again, their property.
No, pulling in. If someone has misjudged the entrance to the driveway and makes a wrong turn and there's an accident.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying it's, you know, first of all, I don't know if the state's going to let them paint in their property. Don't know that. I don't know if they would be willing to even do that or want to do that for whatever reason. They were very, very picky about their sign. So I'm not sure painting an island of reflective color is going to be in their wheelhouse.
Speaking of which, what's the story with the landscaping?
We talked about that at the last meeting. Mike addressed that last meeting, and I'm trying to remember. We're going to go out again in the fall, Mike.
When they asked for us to go out and take a look, it was cold, and we couldn't tell what was alive and what was dormant and what was dead. So we asked them to follow up with us in the warmer weather, and they haven't as of yet. We suspect that might be because they're realizing some of those things aren't alive, and we're not going to release the bond back, but we have not heard from them since.
And we How long does the town hold the bond?
Bonds do not expire.
They don't.
I don't know if there's anything in the agreement about an expiration date, but it's not as if after a certain amount of time, the money goes away or we're required, have to take action. You know, generally we try to get them administered and released, but it will remain in, you know, the cash will remain in the hands of the town and until such time as they request the release and are compliant.
What's the bond amount come out?
I don't know off the top of my head. I want to say 5,000.
I think it's more than that.
I think we did a partial release.
We did, and I think it's still more than that, but
we should negotiate with plants and paint.
Well, the problem is it belongs to it may not, that road may not even belong to them. That may belong to the guy who owns the back piece still. I don't even know who's the owner of it. That's why I said if the back piece comes in, then you can negotiate that entrance a little better, maybe.
I think the engineer should go and look at this thing. I'm sorry, but I can't let go of it at night. I mean, when are these things inspected? I'm sorry. It's not good. No bueno.
You've made your point. Thank you. Okay, is there anything else anyone else wants to bring up? As far as the Bolton subdivision and zoning regulations are concerned. Hearing nothing? Let's see, correspondence.
I don't have any correspondence.
No correspondence?
Mr. Chairman, I move we adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And the chair votes aye.
Who seconded? I'm sorry.
Me.
Arlene.
Oh, Arlene. That's what I thought. Okay. Thank you. And I've got I said I thought it was Arlene. I was trying to make sure. Is it 8:31? What do you have for a time there?
8:29.
Okay.
Patrice, what is the connectivity drive that you were talking about? What is that?